the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this week's Torah Tidbit. This week, the tidbit is taken from the Torah portion called Vayechel. Vayechel is a Hebrew term which means, and he assembled. And it's referring to Moses gathering the people of Israel to tell them what God had commanded them. Now, because this Torah portion continues to discuss the tabernacle, its different components, and the people's participation in the development of the tabernacle, our theme is going to be about being a cheerful giver, because that's one of the prerequisites for there to be the tabernacle. Now, the portion begins by telling us in Exodus chapter 35, verse 1. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do." So you'll recall that Moses had gone to the top of the mountain to find out what it is that the people were to do. Tradition says that Moses assembled the people to tell them this the day after his return from the mountain. And based on that tradition, this particular day would be the 11th day of Tishri, which you should recognize that day because it would be the day after Yom Kippur and just a few days before the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. Now, his words, which the Lord has commanded you to do, entails a lot, but it's believed to be hinting at the construction of the Mishkan, or the tabernacle. Even so, interestingly, in verse 2, Moses speaks about the observance of Shabbat. And so this reaffirmation of Shabbat's sanctity in this particular place suggests that the building of the tabernacle, God's house, should not supersede the observance of Shabbat. And so Shabbat testifies to God's existence, His sovereignty, His position as the creator of all, and thus that is superior to building a place where all of those truths will be acknowledged and where He will be served. In short, here's the point, the acknowledgement of and the submission to God's sovereignty precedes and supersedes any service or any religious duty. Samuel phrased it this way in 1 Samuel chapter 15. "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." We've all heard that verse before, but what it's really getting at here is, what good are religious practices if your heart isn't willing to obey Him in all ways? What good is working on a house where He can dwell if you're not going to honor Him within your heart? Because that's really where He wants to dwell first and foremost. And this heart condition speaks to the essence of our focus today, because in appealing to the people to bring their different contributions for the tabernacle, a stipulation is imposed upon them, and that is this. The contributors had to have their heart in the right place. And so this is what is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 35, verse 5. "Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord." And so what we see here is that the Creator wants only those with a willing heart to give. He doesn't desire that anyone give begrudgingly. He doesn't want anything to be given begrudgingly or merely out of religious duty. I believe Yeshua alluded to this same principle on multiple occasions. He did it once when He acknowledged the magnitude of the gift provided by the widow who had only two mites. And then again when He spoke of those who have a good eye, which is a Hebrew idiom which is saying someone's generous. Now, why is giving generously or sacrificially so important to God? Because obviously God doesn't need our money and our treasure. It seems to me it's important because God desires our whole heart. He wants to be more important to us than any of our possessions, no matter how great or how small they may be. And thus, our treasure shouldn't be determined by temporal things, things that are going to pass away, but our treasure should be elsewhere, as Yeshua tells us in Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, we mentioned this before, but where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If, therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or you cannot serve God and your treasure. And thus we see in our Torah portion, God says that everyone whose heart was stirred and whose spirit was willing, that's the ones he wanted to come, and that's the ones who did come and gave toward the construction of the tabernacle. Moses didn't have to ply them with smooth words. He didn't have to put pressure on them to give. He didn't have to exact a levy. He spoke to them, and then they responded. Now, we could make the argument that they may have been motivated by what almost happened to them. That is, they were almost destroyed because of the golden calf incident. Nevertheless, the point is, he spoke, they responded. And the ones whose hearts were moved to do so, those are the ones who gave willingly, not begrudgingly. Not everyone gave necessarily of monetary or earthly possessions. Some people gave of their gifts. In fact, all those that were gifted with wisdom to make the implements and the components of the tabernacle, that is, those artisans and craftsmen, they gave not necessarily of monetary things, but they gave of their talents. In fact, later in this chapter, two of these men are called of God by name. God calls on Bezalel and Oholiab. These artists, because that's what they were specially endowed with a gift, predestined in a sense for this particular mission. And this is a fact that not only applied to Bezalel and Oholiab, but in some sense applies to us as well. Here's how Paul puts it in Ephesians. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Put simply, like Bezalel and Oholiab, you and I have been given gifts and talents, tools. We've been given these from birth in order to perform the works that God has ordained for us to do. Furthermore, those gifts and that calling, by the way, are without repentance. Seeing then that He, that is our Father, is the one who gave them to us in the first place, who are we to withhold them from His service? So when it came to the craftsmanship needed for the tabernacle, God desired more than gold and silver. He wanted those that were imbued with special talents, those talents that He had given them, to devise skillful works, it says. Literally what that says is to think thoughts, that the pattern shown to Moses might become a reality. Think of it this way. God enlists the aid of man to bring about His purpose so that it comes to fruition. That's one of the reasons He desires a cheerful giver, whether it's a giver of possession or talent. You know, there are a lot of people who feel that there isn't art in Judaism or in the Bible, and largely because of the command not to have graven images. However, there can be no doubt that Bezalel and Oholiab, these artisans, were artists. In the Greco-Roman world, the focus of art is physical beauty. But in Israel, in the Bible, beauty is not determined by physical features. but the state of the heart. In other words, the focus is not on physical perfection, but on righteousness. In fact, rabbinical literature refers to God as the incomparable artist, and His handiwork is everywhere for us to see. But we understand from the Bible that what we gaze upon, the mountains, the seas, the stars, are not intended that we should worship their beauty, but that we should worship the one who created them. So then, where you and I are concerned, the highest artist is not the one who is greatest in self-expression, but the one who is greatest in self-control. Bezalel expressed God's purposes, not his own. The tabernacle is consequently then a picture of self-control that allows for access to the incomparable artist, that is God. Bezalel's mission was to think these spiritual thoughts and to teach them to others, to inspire others through his God-given talent and craftsmanship. Let's look at it this way. A light that cannot kindle another light is a weak light. Likewise, the core of art should be to teach and to inspire other humans, ultimately, that they would give glory to God, not to garner it for themselves. Thus, Bezalel was to take the pattern shown to Moses in the mountain and provoke thought through the workmanship of the tabernacle. That is, through the gifts and the talents and the handiwork that God had given him, he taught others by making these things. And that would include you and me. The things that pertain to the tabernacle, those things that are represented, are teaching you and I today. And so in a sense, Bezalel was a light that illuminated more light until it culminated in Israel's potential to be a light to the nations. And that continues to this day because God's presence was going to reside in that tabernacle. And so the concept of being a light through our gifts takes us back to what Yeshua said of the one who has a good eye, that is being generous. They're full of light. So finally, let's consider this. What Yeshua said of those who were unwilling to give of their talents, and this would apply also to monetary things. In Matthew 25, speaking of the unprofitable servant who went and buried his talent and didn't use it as he was instructed, this is what Yeshua says. Take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And so the point of this is, folks, God gives to us gifts, sometimes possessions, to use, yes, for our benefit, that we can have a livelihood, but not exclusively for us. He gives to us that we may advance His purposes. So the things that we think are ours, whether it's our talents, our charm, our hard-earned money, in reality, it's not ours at all. It's something that has simply been entrusted to us to use for His purpose, for His kingdom. And so we have, like Bezalel and Aholiab, we have been gifted with things. Again, whether it's talents, gifts, possessions, we've been gifted with those things because God intended that we perform a mission, that we advance His purposes. And so then, that's why God desires and loves a cheerful giver. That's this week's Torah Tidbit. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.